From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. The sound of demonstrators marching in Madrid today, one of a number of protests across Europe against government spending cuts and other austerity measures by countries struggling to deal with heavy debt loads. A larger demonstration is underway in Brussels, home base of the European Union. The House votes this afternoon on a bill that threatens punitive tariffs against China's exports to the U.S. unless China moves more aggressively to let the value of its currency rise against the dollar. NPR's Paul Brown joins us now. Paul, why is this moving forward in the House?
Well, Craig, it's both an election issue and a jobs issue right now. Democrats are looking for ways ahead of these midterm elections in November to demonstrate that they are trying to boost the job market.
So how does this relate to the job market?
Well, for a long time, many people have said that China gains an unfair trade advantage by not letting the value of its currency float naturally in the market. And that hurts U.S. manufacturers and employment at home. I've checked in today with Thomas Dusterberg of the Manufacturers Alliance. That is a research and education group that serves industry. And he says what he calls China's lack of action on its currency valuation could prompt an international race to the bottom in valuations.
We've had the Japanese, the Taiwanese, the Koreans have all intervened in recent weeks to stop the rise of their currencies.
So does he think a tariff bill in the U.S. would help?
He says it might, but he also says that there are possible dangers.
People often invoke the example of the 1930s, where there was a series of tariff measures to protect domestic markets and domestic manufacturers that probably contributed to the prolongation of the Depression.
Dusterberg also tells me that even though China is saying again today that it will let its currency float more, that is not a credible announcement. He says the value of the Chinese yuan has actually increased far less over the past few months since China said it would let it float than most economists think is realistic.
Thanks, Paul. NPR's Paul Brown reporting from Washington. Congress is also set to vote today on a stopgap spending bill. NPR's Audie Cornish reports the measure would keep the government running after the current fiscal year ends tomorrow night.
The Senate and House are trying to approve a measure extending current spending levels through December. It's not uncommon for lawmakers to struggle with appropriations bills. This year is no different. Legislators didn't finish work on the dozen spending bills funding the government, so now they're trying to pass a stopgap measure before midnight Thursday. As a result, White House requests for additional funding for competitive school grants, legal settlements with black farmers, and some economic stimulus programs aren't likely to make it onto the measure. Audie Cornish, NPR News, the Capitol.
Stock prices are losing ground on Wall Street this morning. The Dow is currently down 42 points at 10,816. The Nasdaq is off 11. This is NPR News. The White House is endorsing a new plan to speed up efforts to help the Gulf Coast rebound from the massive oil spill there. NPR's Debbie Elliott reports the plan would make use of money from the federal penalties that BP is expected to have to pay.
President Obama says the recovery effort will take new thinking, cooperation, and creativity. He supports a recommendation by Navy Secretary Ray Mabus that Congress set aside a significant portion of BP fines for the Gulf Coast. Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana President Billy Nungesser says it's time for Washington to make a serious commitment to restore the Gulf ecosystem.
For too many years, we've gotten the last handout in Louisiana. You know, we've destroyed the wetlands, we've drilled, we've supplied the energy for the country. This is their chance to make it right.
Louisiana's congressional delegation wants 80% of the pollution fines to go to Gulf Coast states. Debbie Elliott, NPR News, New Orleans.
Thousands of cybersecurity personnel from the government and the private sector are taking part in the Department of Homeland Security's Cyberstorm 3. It's a drill to test their ability to respond to internet-based attacks on vital services such as banking and utilities. The head of the department's cyber exercise program, Brett Lambeau, says the focus is on what happens when the level of trust in an agency or company's software is disrupted.
Your computer talks to the company's computer. The company's computer says, you can trust this because Bob said it's okay, and Bob says it's okay, but Bob is actually someone you can't trust.
Lambeau says the goal of the exercise is to boost preparedness and information sharing among those who would have to fend off cyber attacks. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington. Support